Hello and welcome to the Atonicast. I'm Alex Roy, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful and brilliant co-host, Kirsten Korosek. Hello, Kirsten.
Howdy.
And we have a special guest host this week, Josh Hartung of PolySync, one of our most popular guests, now guest hosting. Say hello, Josh.
Hello, Josh.
We'll attempt to rein him in as we focus on the subject of today's interview. We have Jörg Soma of Change, which is much more than an electric truck company, and who's going to tell us exactly what they do, because it's a lot more interesting than it would appear to be on the outside of the vehicle. Hello, Jörg.
Hi, nice to be here.
What is your background prior to coming to Change, specifically in battery technology?
I'm in the industry all my life. I have 10 years worked in the EV space for different brands between Germany, France, and the US. Whenever I started taking over business development for electrification, I immediately developed business models around it. It was never the car. It was always the charging partnership, the green energy, because I always looked at it as a whole system. And so I'm obviously German, as you hear, but I'm lucky enough to have spent globally a lot of time on the forefront of cool projects in the EV space.
Would you please explain to us what Change is? And so what is Change?
I think it's a one-of-a-kind company you don't see, haven't seen before. It's not a truck company. We are much more than a truck company. We are going into the last mile delivery industry with a delivery truck. It's a fully electrified, ground-up built electric vehicle platform. But we are going into energy services at the same time. We're going in large-scale operations, high volumes, doing small, large fleets in the thousands. And I say we are not a truck company because the truck is really a platform for us. We are selling services on top of that platform. We are selling energy services, and we are selling last-mile services in the future.
So let's make this really simple, because your description could fit a lot of different companies in the sector. Mm-hmm. And the cynic in me says, oh my God, another company, another startup doing this. We are conducting this interview from the interior of what really, it's not a semi, it's a delivery van.
Correct.
And it is built from scratch, according to your design, correct?
Correct.
What is the product today? Is there one available today?
No, actually, there's no product today available. Products either are hand-built kind of prototypes, and you can't go to scale, so you can't really have an impact in the industry and environment. When you do buy those vehicles, operate them, they're very expensive. Quality is a problem. Or on the other hand, you have large OEMs. They are introducing now trucks electrified, but they come from converted platforms. So you carry high cost with investments in internal combustion engines with you. You will not be able necessarily go to scale economically. And you have disadvantages in the concept. So the truck itself, when you look at the performance, has either lack in range, lack in load capacity. And so we are really optimized from the ground up for the dedicated last mile, going 100-mile range, where everybody only needs 60 miles, we give 100 mile. This truck is built to be a quality, high, durable, long-life truck, and there's really, you know, no part which can break with an electric vehicle truck. So I think, you know, we are the first ones, the only ones going now into significantly high volumes, and for the foreseeable future, I don't see any OEM stepping with that concept into the market.
Okay, so I'm going to let Josh, as our special guest, ask all the engineering questions, and that's I put a Y at the end of it. I'll be the business reporter. So, what's next steps? So, you're here right now. How do you get to scale? And what is your strategy and approach to doing what you want to do? And what are you prioritizing first? Because you talk about services, energy storage. I mean, there's a lot going on. So. What do you do next?
The magic source is that we go to scale with that truck in large volumes, thousands of vehicles. We will have an assembly plant in the U.S. We are planning this now, and we go online in the first half year next year. We will immediately sell to large fleets, and once you do that, nobody is able to charge at one depot 200 trucks. There's no charging concept out there, but we will offer that service between grid management, solar, battery storage, and vehicle charging so that you can immediately operate and completely electrify a depot out of San Francisco, Portland, or Los Angeles. And that's, I think, the big difference when you look at how we want to go to market. We're not selling just the truck. We are selling that energy concept to the large fleets. And then once we operate with the large fleets, they are global. This is a global concept. It's designed for the US. It's designed for Europe. So we have all the growth potential once we have launched in California to grow with our customers.
And there is a little bit of a China connection as well. So can you explain that? And would you sell to the Chinese market? Because you mentioned US and Europe.
Correct. So this concept was designed, specified within the US engineering team. But we are in a strategic alliance with a holding company, FDG, based out of Hong Kong. And that holding company started about 5 years ago to develop together with us this truck concept. And we have a plant in China, close to Shanghai, 4 million square foot plant where we manufacture that vehicle. We are fully vertically integrated, have our own battery technology. And so that gives us the flexibility to go large scale. We own the brand change going global. We start that out of California where it makes the most sense. Biggest, one of the biggest automotive markets, LA, is kind of an auto, but very innovative city where we place our plant. And so we're, over the 5 years, we developed that concept with our engineering team in the US and then executed that in China.
So before Josh starts asking technical questions, quite recently, if I recall, there was a story about, I believe, UPS or FedEx building their own delivery truck. Am I incorrect about, or is it the U.S. Postal Service? The U.S. Postal Service. Are you suggesting that no one, no OEM, has attempted to develop a solution up till quite recently, and therefore the Postal Service had to build their own, and you are answering the problem for the rest of the sector?
It kind of is that way. Although when you look at it now, it's kind of obvious that this industry will switch very rapidly and go electric. There's really no reason to buy in 3 or 5 years a diesel truck anymore. Everybody was focusing on electrifying passenger cars since, you know, for 10 years ago that really started. But the delivery industry wasn't apparently, you know, the obvious choice for the players until we came in. And so in Germany also, you saw the Postal Service taking initiative, developing their own truck because there was nobody. And
it wasn't sexy enough for the OEMs to enter the market?
So.
What were they thinking?
Well, I mean, OEMs are invested in their factories producing internal combustion engines. They employ thousands of engineers perfectionizing internal combustion engines. So it's actually hard for them to make that switch. Once you come from scratch and you're fully dedicated to do electric vehicles and your target is to be cost competitive with a diesel truck, then you have a level playing, you have an open play field for you where really nobody can hold against you.
Is it harder for them to convert, you know, from an internal combustion model to electric cars than electric trucks, because almost everyone has an EV initiative? It seems like it's a strategic decision to omit or not do this. This seems very obvious to me.
Yeah, and it is obvious, but most OEMs had the pressure to make credits on the passenger car side.
Okay, there are no credits for trucks?
Well, in order to make money in the US or anywhere else, OEMs do need to fill quotas with electric vehicles. So it's kind of really a half-hearted approach for a long time. That's changing now, and that's great. But for a long time, it was really just to make credits. And so vehicles were developed, resources were dedicated in that segment to make those credits to keep profitable business in the internal combustion engine passenger car segment. And that kept OEMs probably away, you know, the personal judgment from my side, from going into the delivery truck market.
So the vehicle that we're in right now that we just drove, what is this model called?
It's called the V8070. Mm-hmm. And 70 comes from 70 kilowatt battery we have. It's a lithium ferrite iron battery where you stand in the middle between the front and rear axle. And it's actually the largest truck in its segment. It has 50% more payload capacity than what you see from big nameplates in the industry out there. We have 7,000 pound payload that outperforms any truck basically available. And it doesn't matter whether it's electric or combustion engine.
When you say outperforms in its category, category of price or of dimensions of the vehicle? How do you classify that?
So that's actually a good question. We want and will be cost competitive to a diesel engine vehicle. And then on top of that, we will be 70%, up to 70% cheaper in running costs and total cost of ownership. And that really is a deal breaker and maker in the industry. People are buying for total cost of ownership to run a machinery. This is an investment tool. And electric vehicles, this one, as it's designed as a high durable quality product with the electric drive system, will be beating any combustion engine by up to 70%. And you have 70% less fuel cost.
How much does this vehicle cost?
We haven't revealed the prices yet, but our leasing rate will be on par with similar products in the market.
So you haven't revealed the price, but you promised that the price compared to an equivalently priced diesel vehicle will deliver this with 70% lower running costs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's, and in terms of product performance, just to add to this, we don't have only not the biggest, you know, volume to load and payload. We also have the best performance in terms of driving characteristics. This car doesn't have necessarily the highest horsepower, but we have almost three times more torque, which is much more relevant in a delivery truck business. We have up to 600 pound foot of torque. So it's a very agile product with a very low turning circle, rear wheel drive, dual hub engine, axle system. So it's really agile to drive in the city. And, you know, that's really what's attractive for a driver. And you have no fumes, you have no rattles, you have no noise. You have, the truck we're sitting in looks actually like a van from a passenger car. That's how it's designed in the cockpit area, and it's really a nice work environment for the driver.
So I'm curious about the 70%. So is that 70% less, and is that mostly fuel? Is that service costs? Like, where does 70% come from?
So normally you have moving parts break. Eventually an engine has its life limitations. It just runs out, and it costs a lot of money to maintain it. You have service schedules. So service schedules either you have to pay out of pocket, or they are baked in the leasing rate. You need to replace fuel. You have oil. You have brake wear. Now, this truck has basically no touching parts. It has like eight moving parts, and those parts don't touch. So there's nothing which can break. This can go on forever. And you have no fluid to replace, no oil. So that takes all the costs out of maintaining that truck. You have even less brake wear because you recuperate the energy and you brake through the electric motor and you regenerate the energy into the battery. So you actually gain from braking, and you have no brake pad wear. So the only thing really wearing out are the tires.
Sure. I mean, those sound like all the sort of normal things you get with electric vehicles.
And that's why I think this industry will quickly change to electrification.
Yeah, it makes sense to me then why you're taking a sort of services approach as opposed to a purchasing approach, because I've got to imagine that sort of maintenance in terms of replacement parts and things like that could like really extend the life of the vehicle, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole truck itself is also designed for abuse in terms of door handles. That's what you hear from fleet operators when you show the truck. They look at the concept, they get it, that it's an awesome, unique electric platform. So they don't question the maintenance aspect and the durability of the drivetrain. They know what it means in terms of reducing the total cost of ownership. Mm-hmm. Their immediate questions are, okay, how sturdy is your door handle? How good is the hip punch the driver gives the sliding door? And then they figure it out and say, this is a sturdy truck. So by that, I think we are way ahead of, in economic terms, operating that truck. But when it comes to service, really to go to scale, to have an impact on the environment, your neighborhood, taking diesel out of your neighborhood, taking the noise out of your neighborhood, improving the workspace, reducing the cost for the fleets, you have to be able to charge that in a large scale and when you charge fleets. And that's, I think, where the magic sauce comes in from our side, where we sell this truck as a platform and not just a one-time transaction.
Yeah, platform, of course, there's a lot, platform's trendy, right? I want to build a platform. Right? the platform thing, it has me wondering, though. I mean, who are you gunning for with that, right? Are you going to be a platform for UPS and Amazon? Is it smaller fleets? Like, who's going to embrace that? Because if I'm Amazon, right, am I letting change do my like charging infrastructure and things like that? Well,
yeah, I mean, that's a good question. But the answer is really there is no reason why anyone who's operating a food truck or a delivery truck large scale from a big fleet, why those trucks should be diesel in the future. The economies are so clear to the advantage of electric drive once it's economically built, ground up, that makes the most sense. And we will be selling to all of those. So we have charging concepts for the mom and pop stores, which are small fleet operators, maybe just buy 3, 5, 6 vehicles. Then we have mid-size fleets between 20, 50, or wherever you want to define mid-size fleets. And then we focus also, of course, and there it makes the biggest, you know, effect in the energy management to sell to large fleets, which there are, you know, all the big brands out there with the white and brown trucks.
Interesting. So you talked about an energy storage component too. So is the idea sort of a second life battery energy storage idea where you're taking the used battery from here, from your fleet, and then repurposing it? Or are you going to also get into battery production and start using it and like selling it to homes or commercial enterprises? Mm-hmm.
So we develop the energy service almost like an own business unit, and we want to go to scale right away. So we don't put second life batteries into storage. We are vertically integrated and we can play on our own battery competence. So we will put battery storage into place once we go and depose and build the charging capability. But then yes, down the road, once you have thousands of those trucks on the road and you come to a second life application, of course you can then take and use those second life applications and take batteries out of the trucks. This truck, you know, will last much longer than an ICE truck, and so you can change the battery over the life cycle. You can put a bigger one, a smaller one in, and then repurpose the battery. But that's really a long time away from where we are now in terms of this battery will last a long time.
Do you have a battery partner then?
We have our own battery manufacturer, Sinopoly. And the concept of the truck is really that we utilize our own engineering and battery development and manufacturing, but we also can play with other battery manufacturers in the future. So we are actually flexible. And that's also the beauty of a truck platform. You don't have to worry about the packaging and the architecture so much. You're more flexible to play with that.
Let's assume for a second that for whatever reason, your target customers do not buy into your platform. They just want the trucks. Let's just assume that happens and these trucks are great. Because I could see, I could see owning one of these because I've got a food truck and it's just cool.
Yeah.
So what is the charging standard? What are the charging times? You said that you've built your own battery technology.
Yeah.
Is it as fast? Is it faster? How does it compare with existing batteries on the market for charging time?
Yeah, I think it's where you see right now where the industry standard is. This is a 7.2 kilowatt charger. Next year, we'll offer DC charging. And so if you really just sadly want to get just the truck from us, of course you can get it. And we are happy to get it to you. And then you will go and charge at your home or at your business. You can use a standard 2 level charging plug and go with it. No problem.
Great to ask this question. The Tesla Semi. Can the Tesla Semi be built by Tesla and meet any of the figures they claim? You are in the trucking business, and sooner or later, you're going to come out with more trucks. So you must have an opinion on Elon Musk's claims.
Look, what's beautiful about us is we are here now. You can buy the truck now. And I think it's cool. It's obvious that this industry will switch to electrification. So it's a great, beautiful product. I think we are in the sweet spot of trucking because that's where you have the biggest impact in the city centers where diesel matters. We are relevant now. So I think we're in a good spot. And I'm happy for everybody who's electrifying because that just makes my case.
That was the best answer. You must have incredible communications people. I don't even know how your media trains so well. All right, let's go the other direction. In certain parts of the world, like I just came back from India, where a large proportion of delivery services are by very small vehicles,
yes.
Three-wheeled vehicles and very unconventional four-wheeled vehicles.
Yes.
So do you anticipate building a much smaller vehicle, but package for delivery for those markets?
So yes and no. We are not looking into going into those kind of small vehicles. And but the beauty is we are looking into globalization. We want to go in other countries. This platform will offer smaller applications in terms of wheelbase. So it's very suitable for inner cities in Europe, London, Paris, Berlin. So that flexibility we have, we will also bring other body styles on top of that platform. I mean, we are in China. We will have shuttle buses also. And we talk about India because this is a cheap way of getting goods around. It's very efficient. But the last mile still for us is this kind of concept in inner city. So let's talk about that in a couple of years. Maybe we are doing something like that.
I have one more question. I'm sorry, guys. Is your business plan, your anticipated rollout with product in any way tied to notions of level 4 or level 5 autonomy? Or are you going to proceed on plan irrespective of what happens in the general marketplace?
Look, I mean, autonomous is, of course, a huge application for the delivery industry.
But you're not waiting for it.
No, we are not waiting for it. But we are already developing concepts focusing on driver safety and pedestrian safety. You can imagine the delivery person walking the truck as a dog. He or she delivers the parcels and the car follows in a low speed, safe mode. We don't need to wait for that technology, but it's super relevant for us, of course. And we would like to partner. We're looking for partners. We're discussing with partners. So we are in that space, but we don't wait for that.
It's partnerships. You're not developing your own solution.
No, I think...
Wise choice.
Yeah, and that's what you hear from the LA Auto Show. Everybody's about partnership. This is, you know, abundance. There's so much in for everybody. And, you know, you should stick with your competencies. I believe in partnerships in many cases, green energy, autonomous, wherever you go. This is, for me, the business model of the future.
I think one of the cool things about this is, you know, we're sitting in this van. I just got to drive it. The fit and finish is really pretty good. It's all custom pressed sheet metal. Mm-hmm. The dash is clean and beautiful, you know, injection molded plastic. I mean, it's really a professionally built vehicle. And you know, earlier you told me, your team is like 30 people. And so like the joint venture and these things, I think that's like, I think the simplicity of electric cars combined with that type of partnership really can produce a pretty awesome product, you know, really innovative, targeted product. You know, I think this is what we're going to see more and more of, these like very, very specific use vehicles.
Sitting in here, I know Josh wants this. I probably want this as like my own van life. Sort of, but maybe a slightly smaller version, but you could really, if you just were able to put four-wheel drive on here, I think that you could like completely take over the van life consumer base.
I take that note because I would like to have a surf truck myself. And so I think there are really some cool ideas where we can expand the portfolio.
I completely agree. There's a lot of shops in Southern California building custom vehicles from really crappy Ford truck vans, which suck. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely love to have something like that built on one of these. And it should also be said for anyone who can't, I mean, we'll publish pictures of the interior of the vehicle. The fit and finish, the UI, and the is far superior to a Tesla Model 3. It is. I think we can see. And it's available not today, but soon. Maybe, well, we should wrap it up right there. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Herr Sommer. thank you so much, Kirsten.
Bye-bye.
Kirsten, where can we follow you online when you're not doing the Tonicast?
Always on Twitter at Kirsten Korosek. And give me relevant pitches, please.
Mr. Hartung, where can we learn more about you and not too much shilling for your company?
You can just find me on Twitter at Joshua Hartung.
Mr. Sommer, if we want to learn more about change, can you please tell us where we could find you on the internet?
At change.us, and love to be with you again and tell you more about next year. We have some new news coming.
Are you sure you don't want to tell us exactly how to spell change.us? Isn't it a special spelling?
It's change, just to make it more interesting.
.us. I'm Alex Roy, 144 and Alt Platforms. This has been the Autonicast. and a very special episode, the Trucks episode. Look forward to seeing you in the next interview.